The barrel stamped his booted feet on the ground and turned to Britva.
I hope the ground beneath us quiet soon.
You fear a small shake of the earth, Botchka? It would take a large crack to swallow you up.
The leader turned again to the three prisoners. Their weapons were piled by his feet, and he pointed down at them.
Good. I wish a further supply, if you please. Or I shall be forced to complain to your superior or manager or floor walker.
It was one of the most bizarre episodes in Ryan Cotter's life, a life that was well studded with bizarre experiences. He considered whether to say that they had many powerful friends in the area. But if he did that, the Russians might ambush the others, and they would all end up being wiped out. He decided it was safer to pretend they were alone, and take the consequences of such admitted weakness.
We have no more guns.
There was a delay while Uchichil translated and digested that. He shook his head.
Yet. Where are guns?
No guns.
Ryan stood up and stretched his legs. Christy and JB also rose. All around them was a general movement of guns, muzzles edging in their direction. Putting up any kind of fight would be utterly suicidal.
Give gun. Not gun, I give... bad pain.
No guns. These are all we have. No more.
Uchichil was becoming angry. Yet again, his careful plan was falling apart. These Americans were either poor and stupid, or wealthy and stupid. At least these three had good clothes and guns, and the truck held all manner of treasures. He beckoned for Pietchal to come to him.
I want...
The girl, Uchichil. Let me do the girl. Her hair is sore.
Yet, not her. The men with the glasses. The others will watch.
Ryan and the others watched the exchange, guessing from the expressions on the men's faces what was going down. The gray-clad Russian with the soft voice had been licking his lips and staring at Christy, rubbing his fingers together. Long, strong fingers with long, hooked nails.
Bad news time.
Yeah. He tell us guns where.
Uchichil pointed at the armorer and rattled off orders to his men to bind him. In moments, JB's hands were tied tightly behind his back, and he was brought to his knees and held there. 2 dozen guns covered Ryan and Christy.
Are they gonna torture him?
Seems they want guns like these. Must have come over as a raiding party.
Take my glasses off for me, Ryan. Don't want these stoops to break them. Had them for 8 years. Don't know how I'd get on without them.
Watched by the Russians, Ryan did as JB asked, folding the glasses and putting them in his top pocket. The beardless Pietchal moved in close to the kneeling man, looking down into his eyes. He touched JB on the side of the cheek with a forefinger, and the little man winced despite himself.
Tell guns.
There aren't any more fucking guns, you stoop bastard killer!
Uchichil nodded to Pietchal. Ryan watched, his face set like stone. Christy looked away. Pietchal began gently, almost caressing the helpless JB. He touched and pinched, twisting the soft, tender skin behind the ears and along the inside of the upper thigh. His nails dug into the armorer's lips, pulling them until blood filled JB's mouth, and he spat it out in a fine spray over the Russian.
Where guns?
I'll tell you this, you blood-eyed dog. You're fucking dead, friend. You're walking around, but you are dead as a spent bullet.
What?
Ryan shook his head in disgust. Christy shuffled closer to him.
What can we do?
Nothing, lover. They got all the blasters. Man has the firepower, he gets to call the game. We watch and wait. Any half chance, take it and get the fuck out. Hen and the others must be coming close. Head for him. That's all I can say.
Uchichil stepped in and swung an open palm across Ryan's face, knocking him on his back. Ryan sat there a moment, his head spinning from the blow, which had loosened one of his teeth. As Ryan got up, a lopsided smile came to his angular face.
I'm gonna do the same for you one day, you cocksucking double-scarred bastard.
No talk. Talk guns. No pain.
The third earth tremor was vastly more powerful than the two minor quakes they felt earlier. Ryan staggered sideways, retaining his balance only with effort. Nearly everyone was thrown off their feet. All the fires were shaken out, buried under a mist of ice and snow. The air filled with a dreadful thundering roar, and with so much dirt that it was difficult to breathe or see. Ryan grabbed the girl by the arm.
Gotta get JB, now!
There was a second quake, more violent than the first. It knocked both Ryan and Christy off their feet. But Ryan's sense of direction and ice-cold nerve kept them going. Stumbling over bodies lying on the earth, they reached JB and Ryan knelt, still holding Christy by her right hand.
Took your damn time, partner.
Knife?
Right boot. They didn't find it.
Ryan slid his fingers inside the high combat boot, feeling the taped hilt of a small knife. Pulling it from the sheath, he used it to slice through the ropes that bound JB. As the last cord fell away, the armorer rose to his feet, leaning on Ryan.
Thanks. That bastard evil fucker had hard hands.
The ground still moved.
Get the blasters. That way.
Despite the darkness and confusion, they moved straight to the pile of guns and knives. Each of them grabbed what they could, holstering and sheathing their weapons. Ryan was still holding the long steel panga when someone grabbed him from behind.
Fire blast!
He struggled to free his arms from the bear-like grip, but the man was strong, and it took all of Ryan's agility and cunning to free his right hand so that he could jab behind him with the point of the blade. Despite all the layers of fur that the Russian was wearing, the panga penetrated. The hold was loosened, and Ryan twisted his body clear. Then he turned and swung the blade as hard as he could, feeling it jar and crunch as it hit the man's ribs. In the cold, he was aware of the flood of heat across his hand from the wound. Ryan pushed the man away and turned to where he'd last seen Christy and JB.
You guys there?
Yeah!
Right here.
Christy was unable to keep her voice from trembling. All around them, the gorillas were running and yelling. Across the camp, someone fired a pistol four times. They heard a yelp of pain.
South, keep close. Kill anything that moves if it's not us.
Why not get the radio from the buggy?
No time. We have to move. There are 30 or more of them. We know where Hen and the others are headed. We'll meet up with them.
The earthquake was continuing with waves of varying power that made the icebound pebbles shift and rattle. Ryan Carter was in the lead, Christy slipped and stumbled behind him, and JB brought up the rear. Something loomed in front of Ryan, and he slashed at it with the panga, then realized too late it was one of the terrified ponies, rearing and kicking. The steel opened a deep gash along its shoulder, but one of its front hooves caught Ryan a glancing blow in the arm. At that moment, the earth gave its strongest convulsion yet, and the ground beneath him rose 18 inches or more. He slipped and rolled forward, feeling snow all around him. A boulder hit him on the knee. His mouth filled with powdery snow, and he coughed and choked as he rolled. With an effort, he managed to spread his arms and legs into a star shape, checking his slide down the hill.